CliffCentral.com.
All right.
Morning, Gareth.
Hey, morning, Ben. How's it, Mubs? How's it, everybody?
What's up? Did you enjoy your Barbara Streisand Michael Bublé intro?
Oh, God, you know, when that came on, I thought, what the hell are you doing? Are you smoking your socks? Is there a lot of weed suddenly in the studio? What are you doing?
Gareth, I reckon that this system needs an exorcism. It is haunted. I mean, you can cue up songs, you can have your best intentions, and out of nowhere, there's either Van Morrison or Barbara Streisand. I thought that was the end for me.
Yeah, it's horrible. It's the most horrible thing I've heard in a long, long time. You started my morning off in a very bad way. Ugh.
I reckon Ben is forcing horrible music down our throats.
Then
he tries to find ways to make it seem like it wasn't his fault. He did it by forcing Kylie Minogue down our throats on Australia Day.
Yes.
And then this morning he pulls the stunt.
Well, believe it or not, I have better things to do with my time.
Well, that's why we're doing something new today. So we'll now all just have a show dedicated to our songs, and people get to like vote in and see who has a better song selection. So today's
don't worry, the Donald Trump of the show, that's me, is coming right back and I'll take control.
Okay.
Yeah, we got Michael Flex's playlist today. I'm not even going to tell you what's on it, so I'm just going to press play and then hide.
I might actually want to hear that. I'll tell you what, I got a very nice compliment for Michael from someone who listens to us. Someone says here, who is it? Oh, it's somebody who's been trying to get hold of me, and they said it's been an absolute pleasure dealing with Michael Flack. So yesterday I started off saying to him he must do his job properly, and it seems this morning I get to give him a compliment that he is doing his job properly.
Oh yeah, Michael's rock solid here. There's nothing more reassuring when you arrive at this place and Michael's got like, right, so today, and he's got things lined up for you, he's got things on paper. I mean, it's rather nice. But Gareth, he still hasn't made me tea since you've been away. So, I mean, I must be your understudy. Not one offer of tea.
Sorry, Ben. What can we do? I have everything.
I just got to start off. You know, we're coming into the studio in the morning. There's all kinds of messages on the WeChat, right?
Yeah.
WeChat?
Yeah, and every now and again on the screen here. And every now and again, I look at it and I think, you know, is it something that pertains to us? Should we start the show with something? So just reading a message here, this literally just caught my eye. Had sex with a stripper once, worst experience ever. I was effing her, she was still effing herself.
Excuse me?
And then she went to climax, she acted like a wild animal. Oh, just by the way, don't have sex with fat chicks in summer. I mean...
Those are our listeners.
I don't know what to say.
Wow, Mubs, was this during your show yesterday?
No. No, this was not during sipping tea.
Those are our listeners. I love them, all of them.
Very, very, very special. So, Gareth, how was your day? It's quite strange, the concept, because your day is finishing, our day is starting. So where did you get to?
Yeah, your time now is 8 minutes past 6 in the morning. Mine is 8 minutes past 11 in the evening.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
That's a good reminder. So what happened, today?
Wow. Today was the last day of the interactive part of South by Southwest. So I went to the closing address by a guy called Bruce Sterling at 5 this afternoon. And this is the guy who Toby Shapshak interviewed at the beginning of the week. What an interesting guy. He's written a bunch of science fiction novels. He's written one or two nonfiction books. Mm-hmm. He is a futurist, which means that he predicts what might happen in a year or two or 5 or 10 or 20 years from now.
Mm.
And it was just fascinating hearing his thoughts about where the world is and where we're going and what's happening and what we've got to look forward to and what shitty things are going on that might be problematic. All kinds of amazing stuff. So what do you want to hear?
Well, do you remember any of the things that he's predicted over the next 5 to 10 years? Yesterday there was a story in the news about how there's a 32-year-old scientist who's working on loading our personalities and memories onto robots so that you can live on forever that way. And that, he says, is something that can happen in the next 30 years.
Yeah, I think 30 years is a bit of a long time for people who maybe only have 20 left.
Yes.
True.
You know, and Ben's personality is already 130 years old, so who knows how long that'll last.
Yeah, that'll be timeless.
Yeah.
But imagine, if you will, that you could download your entire personality, your entire brain to a machine. We'd need a lot of memory. Apparently, there is not enough memory around at the moment. There just isn't enough available for even one person's mind to be stored.
Ooh.
On any sufficiently large computer. So in other words, I mean, you could foreseeably eventually store it in something like a massive cloud, but we would need huge amounts of storage space, and we're just not at that point yet. So we've got a long way to go, but wouldn't it be amazing if you could, if your consciousness, if your personality, your mind could live forever?
Yeah, that's quite special. But you'd have to run through some sort of test, like there's certain minds don't want to live forever. Some make the grade.
Or Kim Jong Un.
Or Saddam.
Yeah.
Or Mugabe, for that matter, because I read this morning that Zimbabwe is now officially the poorest country in the world.
Oh dear.
Wow.
So great job of running that fucking country into the ground there.
So are there worse than
there's still people who think he's a hero.
Yeah.
And his people are suffering worse than any other people on the continent. Most of them who can get out do come to South Africa, try to run as far from him as they can. And yet there are people in Africa who consider him some kind of a hero. It boggles my mind. If he's such a hero, move there. See how well it goes for you.
Yeah, it's so true. The hypocrisy of it all. It's like we can stand alone by using US dollars.
Doesn't even have a currency. Yeah. Anyway, but let me get back to the memories and the minds and all the rest of it. Imagine if you could relive a memory, like the day you fell in love with your girlfriend, or the day that you learned to fly a plane, or some other amazing memory, the last really great conversation you had with a grandparent. Imagine that kind of memory was, you could relive it. Not just remember it, but relive it. Plug it in, switch it on, and replay it like a movie in your mind.
Would this include memories from when we were babies? Because that's stuff we don't remember at all. I mean, can you imagine reliving when you were 6 months old and you're like, oh, so this is what was happening at 6 months?
I wonder if that's possible. I mean, this is all very theoretical, because there's no one who can even begin to answer these questions from a factual point of view.
Yeah.
But if what you're saying were possible, Mubs, then we would also learn about how learning takes place, because they say that you can pick up in your first 6 to 12 months, you pick up more than you do in your entire life. You learn more. You're like a sponge. So you know, you learn to walk, you learn to talk, you learn to move, you learn to see, you learn to hear, you learn to taste, to smell, everything. It's just the most incredible thing. If we could cast our eyes backwards, if we could live in the past to the degree that we could see how we learn as a six-month-old baby, it would unlock so much about how we can learn later on in life.
So true, but again, it would be quite nice to just erase memories as well. You know this whole thing about freeing up some space? It'd be kind of cool just to forget about certain things. Say you've got a fear of something, or something really rocked your upbringing or whatever, and it's like jaded you as an adult.
Creepy uncle who kept making you sit on his hand, and you could make that go away.
Yeah, just imagine you could do that, and if you changed, I'd love to know what the test would be around that.
Well, I know that, for example, there are some people who are better at not holding on to bad memories. I'm one of those people for some reason. I'm lucky, I suppose. But if I have a really ugly fight with someone, a few minutes later I'm over it and I've moved on. And I very quickly I can learn to forget things. So I can put bad experiences into a box and file them. And I never have to look at them again. I mean, I'm still aware of them, but I can pretty much put them in a place where I won't have to think about them again. Now, I'm not saying that that's possible for really traumatic things. Who knows? I might go through worse things in my life that I can't forget about or put away. But what Ben's saying is exactly right. Can you imagine the spectacular power of being able to take a woman who, for example, was assaulted on the way home or raped, like one of our guests we interviewed not so long ago, and imagine you could remove that whole memory from her so that she would feel like she was never violated, and how that would free some people.
Mm. Yeah, you can like regain your innocence towards certain things. I think that's a good thing.
But even I think it would be. But then there is that argument to be made that your experience is you, you know,
yeah.
Even the bad experiences.
Exactly. Your adversity kind of crafts and shapes you, molds you into the strong person that you are. But if you look at like sports stars, say the guy's got a mental block against a certain bowler, just take it away and it'll come out the guns blazing.
But you see, that's not the case for all people, because for some people, their experiences destroy them, you know, to the point where they take their own lives. So if you had the option to erase a bad experience, it would be nice for that option to be there.
I just got a message now from Avishkar saying, well, we can just erase the day that Ben made us listen to Cardi Minogue. I'm just never going to live this down.
Hey, can I tell you something fun I saw on TV this morning? I saw Wendy, you know, Wendy Williams, she does a show. It's a really, really good show.
What? What?
Yes, Sia knows.
It's a good show. No, it's not. It's a terrible show.
No.
It is an amazing show.
It's rubbish. Carry on.
She is really, really funny. I like her. So she says, oh my God. She says, do you know who the most famous person on Twitter is? I mean, on Instagram is? So everybody in the audience goes, nah. And she goes, it's not her. And she points to Beyonce. And the crowd go, woo. She goes, it's not her. And she points to Kim Kardashian. And they go, ooh. She goes, it's none of them. And she points to all the other Kardashians.
Uh-oh.
And apparently the most famous, most followed person on Instagram at the moment is, anyone want to guess?
Wow, if it's not a Kardashian.
I happen to know, so I'm going to sit this one out.
Michael?
I think it's Taylor Swift.
Uh-uh, it's not her.
Ooh.
Ben, have a guess.
Kanye West.
No. It's a girl.
Not Beyonce, not the Kardashians, not Taylor Swift.
Miley Cyrus, because she's always flashing her gash and stuff.
Nope.
Gash is such a horrible word.
Oh, she's dreadful at
Miley. Selena Gomez.
No.
Yep.
She must have bought followers, man. She's boring.
I don't know, but I mean, she had 60-something million Instagram followers, and her pictures are not even that great. I mean, she's not even that exciting.
Yeah,
it's very interesting because you would think that the most followed person is probably somebody who's near naked the whole time. Because, you know, you think Instagram, it's all about people looking at hot girls, right? And hot guys.
Exactly. Yeah.
Hmm.
It's not. Turns out not to be. So that I discovered this morning, which is kind of interesting.
Gareth,
over the course of this trip, yeah.
I just got to interrupt here. Yesterday we had a big feature about how we're going to become billionaires, and it was targeting the female audience, the young female audience. Clearly Selena Gomez is doing that.
That's exactly right. And I was going to point that out, but I thought it almost goes without saying, because everybody else in the top 10 are all people that young girls want to follow. Also, young girls have way too much time on their hands.
Well, I was taking flack yesterday because maybe my phrasing wasn't right.
Yeah,
but I told the team we need to target young girls in reference to these videos that we need to make. And then they were laughing at me. So there, vindication.
No, but it's also
exactly right.
I mean, it's young girls, but then it's also young boys who are obviously masturbating to these Instagram pictures. Oh, come on now.
It's disgusting. Well,
this is true though.
Like 6'18"
and you want to masturbation.
I mean, I don't think, you know, I mean, if you're going to masturbate, follow Kim Kardashian maybe, because she's at least showing something.
Hey, there are a lot of boys who are crushing on innocent looking Selena Gomez, imagining things about her that they just don't see because she's not showing them.
Maybe. I would do that for Taylor Swift or Beyonce or, yeah. I mean, look, I get it. But I think young girls are definitely the most powerful demographic on social media, if you had to break it down.
Yeah.
I think that's fair to say. Anyway, so I was telling you, during the course of the last few days, I've been trying a number of the local sort of places to eat and things to drink. Because I always think that that's the stuff that gets to South Africa last. So, you know, if you have some tips, you must share them with people. Tonight, I went to a place with Toby Shap Shack called the Shake Shack.
Okay.
which is pretty funny. They make some killer hamburgers. Oh, my God.
I was about to say, the irony probably of the Shape Shack is that you lose your shape there, isn't it?
No, shake, as in milkshake, not shape.
Got it.
Oh, but then did you also do that thing that they do where they dip their French fries in the milkshake and then they eat them?
Hell no, but I did have
that's the thing, some fries
and a milkshake.
Okay, my girlfriend was right then. She was telling me about that with flurries and potato wedges.
But hang on, Gareth, are there burgers the size of Ben's head? Because, you know...
No, they... These things are small. They're smaller than even a Big Mac.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So they're not overly sized. But the amazing thing is that you do get, not at the Shake Shack, but I saw, one of the guys took a picture of it, a bacon cocktail drink, where there's actually slice of crispy bacon inside the cocktail.
What's it called? The Sarah Palin?
It's called the bacon cocktail.
Did you taste it?
Not a fuck.
but you must be... You're supposed to be trying new and weird things. Isn't that part of the trip?
It's like the swine sunrise.
It is swine surprise. Listen, I told you about the Sims brothers and their food truck, right?
Yeah. And the toilet out back.
The Sims are two black guys from Louisiana who do, like, they do real American barbecue food. So you, and on the menu, I told you that they spell meat M-E-A-Z, right?
Mm.
Meese.
Okay.
So what you'd do is you'd order one meat. These are the options on the menu. One meese, two meese, and then there's one called the coma, which is eight meese.
Oh, you couldn't make this stuff up if you tried.
That's normal.
And you say, Elvin, I have one meese. And he goes, what kind of meese you want? And you go, I'll have pulled pork, or you have a brisket, or you have ground beef. But one of the, it's all meat. There's nothing else really. And they offer you a side, but it's kind of like, do you really want that, or do you just want more meat?
Oh, boy.
Oh, man. Sounds like fun, though. Hey.
Mubs, you know, I love feminists, right?
Yes.
My favorite people. So there was one item on the agenda, which was for Monday, I think, and it was for gender in media and what it means. And right over the whole thing, it was the only one that I saw with this, was a big red label that said cancelled.
Oh, shame.
So I thought, well, obviously gender in media means fuck all, so we can ignore that one. I do like it. When feminists think that they're important, they get cancelled off the roster. That's really funny.
There's a whole group of people who are totally happy at that.
Oh, yeah, but you didn't see them anywhere because they didn't even pitch up in enough numbers to make the session happen.
So, Gareth, is today the day that you start your big travel home? Because it's, what, like 43 hours or something?
After this, I've got to go and pack my bags. We're leaving tomorrow, and I'll be back on Friday morning early.
So it's what? It's Dallas or wherever you are?
No, it's from Austin.
Austin to New York.
Then New York to Dubai, and Dubai to Johannesburg.
Okay, so it's Austin to dodge a hydrogen bomb in New York from Kim Jong-un, and then it's to Dubai. Yeah. You got a couple hour layover there?
2 or 3 hours, I think.
Try find the Ben's Cookies stand. Best cookies in the whole world.
What?
There's an actual shop. It's called Ben's Cookies.
Okay.
You get this amazing red tin, and these cookies are amazing. You'll eat them within a week. Like, they're fresh, and they're incredible.
Ben's Cookies. All right. I won't forget. And I have been looking for presents for everybody, but it's hard to find the kind of unique stuff.
That's very nice.
No, you're not just going to buy boring stuff, so I'm trying to find interesting presents for everyone.
On the back of all these stories, we're not accepting boring. I mean, you've been to some amazing places and met some amazing Mises.
From now on, whenever you order anything with meat in it at a restaurant, you must order mees and see what they do.
Yeah, and then ask for a coma and see what they do then.
More mees.
Right.
So, Gareth, you have been away, and obviously you have been very busy. I just want to play a little clip of something that happened yesterday here. I'm pretty sure it does need to be introed.
Let me try and get Duncan on here, because actually he's a guy, and I need to find out from him whether this is something that he could completely understand. Because the thing about our Duncan here, you know, he's got a way with the ladies. 90% of ladies who come into Cliff Central, they get Duncan's special treatment, which is him, you know, saying, hello, how are you? And he asks them why they're there, and he sees if he can try to help them out. Every now and again, you know, he tries to push things a little bit further than what they should be going. Duncan, this thing that I've just explained of men being turned on by seeing a complete stranger of a woman pregnant, she might even be feeding her child, is this something that you could understand as a man who really loves and appreciates women?
No, absolutely. Mabali, let's not deny how beautiful the woman's body is. Even better when there's a little child inside the body.
You know what, Duncan? I just can't help but feel like it's almost a little... like, it's a little bit creepy, because you do mention that there is this child, so there's this little innocent being growing inside of her, and all you can think is, oh yeah, that looks good, that looks good.
Look, I remember when I saw this Portuguese pregnant lady. Yo, she was so gorgeous. Just that big bob she had on her belly, and just the way she walked, and how fat her thighs were.
Oh, okay, you see, yeah, I don't know.
Rosy cheeks as well. I think the main thing about it is that women are gorgeous, and them being pregnant is a whole new other level of their beauty that us real men really know how to appreciate.
All right, thank you very much, Duncan. See, I knew that I could.
Oh, wow. Mavs on sipping tea yesterday. Timmy wasn't here, so she was talking about pregnant women, and she just thought, you know what, I'm going to open up to Duncan.
Bad mistake.
What a big mistake.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. It's an actual fetish called mesophilia. When men are aroused by the sight of a pregnant woman or a lactating woman, a woman who's feeding her child. Very creepy stuff.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, I think a pregnant woman's got enough to worry about without guys just slobbering all over her when she walks past to get the groceries. Yeah. You know, she doesn't need that shit in her life.
Worry about her fat thighs being ogled.
Yeah. I mean, she's thinking, oh my God, there's this child growing inside me. I don't know whether I'm going to be a good mother. It's all this pressure. I hope I'm healthy. I hope I'm looking after it well enough. I've got to eat this. I can't eat that. I've got to watch out for this. I'm going to be stuck for 18 years with this kid. And then some Duncan walks past her and is like slobbering all over himself.
But the creepy thing is, he's not just saying, oh, you know, don't mind pregnant women. He's going into detail. Oh, the way her thighs are so big and her rosy cheeks. That's kind of freaky, Duncan.
Yeah, well,
we know you and Duncan don't exactly share the same point of view on a lot of things.
Oh, yeah. Opposite sides of the spectrum here.
Yeah, you guys definitely can't be brothers. Although the movie Twins, like Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito, you guys could be a modern version of that.
Highly doubt that.
Very interesting. Cool, guys.
They don't even have that blackness in common, the two of them. You know what? I got to say, like, on a positive note, because this Bruce Sterling guy was so interesting to listen to. He was the closing speaker, so he kind of gives you a summary of what South by Southwest is and where the world's at and all the rest of it. And he said, you know, the world isn't really that bad, after he spent like 45 minutes telling you how shitty it is.
Oh, wow.
He said, look, the fact is that, you know, in America, they've got a choice now between like Silvio Berlusconi or keeping things the same. That's kind of where they're at. Because Donald Trump is America's Silvio Berlusconi. And I thought, well, Jacob Zuma is our Silvio Berlusconi.
Mm.
And I see in the news, like, the Guptas are back in the news again, and I see that there's this member of parliament who said that, yeah, she could have been made a minister if she hadn't acquiesced to the Guptas' requests. And, you know, I kind of feel like we often beat ourselves up in South Africa, and we think we're so bad, the rest of the world is so great. But honestly, I'm in supposedly the greatest country in the world right now, and for a number of reasons it is, and for a number of reasons it absolutely isn't. But you know what? The ordinary people in this country are just as angry as the ordinary people in South Africa. That's why they're thinking of voting for Bernie Sanders or Donald Trump. And the ordinary people in South Africa that are so cross because they're not earning what they should be, or the universities aren't as open as they could be, or opportunities are denied, or there's all kinds of historical injustice. Please believe me, that's happening here as well. And driving around and talking to people, whether it's an Uber driver, whether it's someone you have selling you Mies at the food truck, whether it's some guy who's got three PhDs from Harvard, they're all sitting with exactly the same issues we've got in South Africa. So the one thing I have realized over the last couple of days is that no matter how bad you think it is, it's the same everywhere. The world is in shit. Look at what's going on in Europe at the moment with this Brexit that's being threatened. You know, if Britain pull out of the EU, it's really just France and Germany left, because they're the only two holding that whole economic community together. Even the Germans might pull out of it. What are they going to pull out of themselves? It's a mess. Everybody's looking for some kind of perfect society, but there is not one perfect society anywhere in the world, because people are complicated, and we all think we deserve more, and we all want a whole lot more than we have, and it's just never going to sort itself out. That's the human condition. And the only way to make yourself happy, because that was another session I attended today, a guy who used to be a monk, he went off on a retreat in the Himalayas as a monk, and he realized, he tried to teach us all why happiness is so hard and how you can get more of it, which was an interesting talk for South by Southwest. And he said, what you really need to do is quiet your mind. You need to stop thinking and let your mind have a little bit of space and silence to actually figure out what's going on around you and appreciate what's going on around you.
That's so true. It's the figuring out. Like you said, everyone's got their shit, but none of us are trying to figure it out. We're just bitching about it. That's the worst thing going here, because we just keep thinking and thinking and thinking about it.
And you know what else is material things? We're so obsessed with material things. We're obsessed with how much money there is in the bank. We're obsessed with how much we can accumulate in terms of stupid stuff like TVs and PlayStations and cell phones and gadgets and all kinds of other stuff that we don't really need.
Yeah. It really does hit home when you get a bit older and you start realizing there's just no point of all this. It's just trying to tell people who are younger. It just falls on such deaf ears.
Well, this guy said that the big five, you know, there's five huge companies. They are Amazon, Google, Facebook, Apple, and Microsoft. Those are the five biggest corporations in the world. He said, you know what? None of the five of them have actually done anything to improve humanity.
Wow.
Whoa, that's a very big statement to make.
Isn't that incredible? I mean, just sure, you know, now we can message each other instantly and we can Google stuff and we can buy a book online. And he said, but they haven't made humans' lives that much better. They've just connected us more and they've made us want more. And they've put people in warehouses instead of behind shop counters. And they've done all kinds of creepy things that we should be worried about, like digging into our private lives and using our information to make it look like they have billions worth of value. But they haven't added value to our lives. We've added value to theirs.
Yeah.
So again, don't feel bad. If you don't have five tablets, three cell phones, two laptops, and five flat screen TVs, you know what? Your life will still be okay. And if you could wake up every morning and feel good and do something good and help someone else who doesn't have as much as you have, then you're actually doing more than Google, Microsoft, Amazon, Facebook, and what's the other one? Google, Apple, Microsoft, Facebook, and Amazon.
Amazon.
I'll be sure to bring this up with Anthea.
Yeah. Tell her they've done nothing, all these companies.
All these companies talk about they've done nothing. You know nothing.
By the way, last bit of news, because I know you've got to get to sport, and I've got to go and pack. But the last bit of news is that Hillary is pretty much cleaned up for the Democrats. Bernie, I think, might have been slightly ahead in Minnesota. But that's the latest on the Democrat side. So Hillary is way ahead. She won Florida. She won Ohio, or is it Iowa? think it's Ohio. And yeah, it was Ohio. And then on the Republican side, Marco Rubio lost Florida, which is his home state.
Uh-oh.
To Donald Trump. Donald Trump cleaned up all the others except Ohio, where Kasich, who's the governor of Ohio, won.
So are you saying it's pretty much going to be a Trump versus Clinton presidential race?
That's what I said.
Damn it. I think Trump will win it, though. I don't think I don't think Americans are ready to put a woman in the lead position just after they put a black man in the lead position. You know, I don't think they're ready for that just yet.
I reckon they are. Hillary's just not the best woman, though.
I think Bernie saw, if it was Bernie and Trump, I think there might have been a chance, but I think Trump is going to take it if it's between him and Hillary.
Guys, to close this off before we go to sport, Ben, only 8 years after electing their first black president, about half of America is apparently prepared to elect its first orange president, thereby proving unequivocally that orange is the new black.
Very, very nice.
Very good, Gareth.
I will catch up with all of you on Monday. Have an excellent week and a good weekend coming up, and we'll all catch up on the other side.
Cool, Gareth.
Have a safe trip back home.
Yeah, happy travels. Hope you don't get deep vein thrombosis and all that kind of stuff.
Wow.
Well, it's better, better than saying safe travels. That's so vague.
Oh. Well,
deep vein thrombosis is very specific.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hope you don't get it, Gareth. Look forward to seeing you on Monday.
Mr. Particular.
Choice. Sometimes you have it, and sometimes you don't. AutoTrader gives you the choice. Now you can shop, compare, and buy new cars. Watch our expert video reviews and research before you buy. AutoTrader New Car. The choice is yours.
Into the sport we go with my cheesy jingle. Champions League action last night. Kind of predictable in that Man City have gone through against Dynamo Kiev. They were 3-1 up going to that one, into the home match. So there was no chance of really losing that one. It was a 0-0 draw, so very, very boring. Man City go through. They go into the quarters along with Wolfsburg, PSG, Benfica, and Real Madrid. But who are the other teams? Well, Atletico, they hosted PSV, Eindhoven, and also a 0-0 draw. But it went into thrilling penalties because the aggregate was 0-0. So it got down to maps 8-7 in favor of Atletico. Luciano Narsing, he hit the bar for PSV. So Juan Fran got the winner.
Yay for Juan.
Juan Fran, that's his name. I think he just goes by the one name because he's a badass like that. And if you're winning Champions League matches, then go for it, Juan Fran. Tonight we've got FC Bayern versus Juventus. Now this is going to be the match of the week because the other one's one-sided. Anyway, before we get to that, so Bayern went to Juventus and they got 2-2 on the scoreline there, which is very, 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 very good because away goals is all that counts really in this league. So 2-2 there. Juventus, well, a 1-0 win will do it for them because, you know, aggregates comes first. So that's going to be the match of the day. Difficult to say that Bayern's going to relinquish this one. Because, well, like Juventus made the finals last year. You kind of hope they can get through. Because it's nice to have a bit of Italian flair in the tournament. So Roma were out. They got knocked out by Real Madrid last round. So, interesting to see what happens to this one. Then Barcelona versus Barcelona. Quarters to 10. Both these matches are quarters to 10. And Barcelona are 2-0 up. And they're about to face a rather piss-poor team at home now. Because Arsenal have lost everything. They're out of the FA Cup. They're not going to win the league, and yeah, facing a two-goal deficit against Barca, it'll take a huge upset, but I mean huge, huge upset, to the point where I think it'll make front-page news around the world if Barcelona were to lose this. Because with Messi, Suarez, and Neymar, you've got, well, the best strike force. I mean, the three of them combined have scored like 10,000 times more goals than Arsenal have this year. So it's kind of going to be one of those men versus boys things. And ultimately, the men do kind of win through. So, in other football news, the pressing football news, Mubs, yesterday, we spoke about Leslie Sidibe being banned by FIFA.
5 years.
Well, thanks to Cabs on Twitter, I quickly got a bit of an update in the story, and I had it all wrong. So the initial stories that came out in the press, right, the usual cut and paste media, which you should never ever take with anything more than half a pinch of salt. They were saying FIFA's banned this guy, he's dodgy, end of story. Well, maybe not. So it turns out that Leslie, the more you kind of dig into the story and the more you listen to his side of the story, which is what, you know, you're entitled to it. If someone calls you out on something, you're totally entitled to defend yourself, right?
Well, especially if you feel that what's being said about you is not true.
Exactly, right? So now Leslie's basically, well, hang on a second here. Hang on a second. I inherited Safa and it was in complete disarray, but like complete disarray. There was no major sponsors. They just had no idea what to do. The finances were so bad, but like so bad. They were so cash strapped. So he's like, oh, hang on a second. How is it that you're donating $10 million to this diaspora or whatever it is when you've got no money? So he was like, this sounds a bit strange. But this is where the real story comes in, right? Safa was so badly prepared for the 2010 World Cup. They had no preparation matches. So there's no warm-up matches for Bafana to play. So they were like, oh, shit, you know, we need some games before the tournament starts. So let's go ask people. Meanwhile, it was too late. So whoever they asked were like, yeah, sorry, we've already got matches sort of planned. They had no real training facilities to use prior to the tournament either. They had to go to Brazil for a while. Then they went to Germany for a bit. And then they were meant to play China in Germany, but then China cancelled. It was just such a mess. It was just, everything was just such a mess. So then this other guy comes in the picture, right? His name is Wilson Raj Perumal. Now, Wilson Raj Perumal is a notorious match fixer. But, like, this, like convicted. He is, like, the dodgiest guy ever. I mean, I'm sure this guy knew Hansi at some stage. So not only does this guy arrange opponents, right?
Okay.
He arranges the match officials for these matches as well.
Okay, okay.
So now a letter has kind of been revealed, which basically says this this Wilson guy. He's like, really looking forward to working with you guys. We've got the teams. We've got the officials. Don't worry. Leave it up to me. And these are the matches that were said to be match fixed. So the games against Thailand, Colombia, Guatemala, and Bulgaria were all these warm-up matches that were hastily put together. And thanks to Wilson, they were arranged flat out, everything.
Super.
And they said millions and millions just changed hands over these matches. So poor Leslie's going, well, look, we're screwed. We've got no matches. We've got no preparation for what's going to be the biggest thing ever in the history of this country, football-wise. So what did he? What could he do? He couldn't say, look, Wilson, I don't like the cut of your jib. You know what? I'm going to go ask teams, because all the teams were booked. So now Leslie's kind of, you know, his hands are tied here. And he was always meant to be a stand-in for Eddie...
Danny
Jordan. Yeah, so then FIFA basically go into this, and FIFA and Safa, they needed a bit of a scapegoat. They needed someone to throw under the bus. So there was poor Leslie. And again, more info shall be revealed. So this is just the latest that I've kind of found in a few sites. And Leslie tossed under the bus, and he had no access to information that was to prove his innocence. They said, no, you can't see any of these documents. And FIFA didn't even interview him, didn't even so much as talk to him about this whole thing.
But they've decided that he should be banned.
But he's good enough for a 5-year ban, yeah. Because, sure, like I said yesterday, making him the sort of scapegoat for this kind of addresses the situation, and then they can say, right, we've addressed this match-fixing thing, we can now move on. Meanwhile, the full deal is still on the background. All the people who were involved in this still need to come forward. And Leslie was, you know, at this press conference, he said, look, the truth will come out. This is what's going to happen, and justice has a way of working itself out. So,
but where do we stand on the SEP situation? Because, I mean, it's kind of died down and gone quiet, but do we know where we stand with FIFA and SEP and what FIFA are planning to do with him?
Well, he's just old meat now. The thing is, and there's always more. There's always more with Boo SEP, but it's just that it's like, what fights are you going to fight, you know? That's just the big question here. So if they would put everything into SEP, I mean, he might squeal like a pig. Who knows? He definitely knows stuff. There's no doubt about it. So, I don't know. All I know is that I just hope Leslie gets a fair trial now. Because with all the stuff kind of considered, it's a bit dodgy how he wasn't even interviewed by FIFA, according to him, of course. From one dodgy thing to another, match fixing, right, in cricket. I remember the whole story of Ghulam Bodhi, and then it was like, hey, who else is it? CSA had been quite sort of heavy-handed in how they dealt this, because the whole thing is match-fixing cricket, right? If you are approached by someone dodgy like Ghulam Bodhi, and you don't even do anything, but you've been approached. So he comes up to you and goes, right, Mubs, I want you to bat terribly in this next match, and I'll give you 100,000 rand. And if you even say to him, look, Ghulam, piss off, and then you carry on about your day, you're still in the wrong.
No,
you have to report that. You have to.
No, but that is trial by association. I mean, he came to me, I had nothing to do with it, and I told him to get away from me, and I'm still in the wrong.
Sure. But you can still clear your name straight away by going, all right, CSA, hi, Ghulam Bodhi, patch leather jacket, came out to me and said he's going to give you 100 grand. Bust this guy. But if you don't say anything, then you are in the wrong. You're going to commit a crime.
It's as if you knew the crime was taking place and you never said anything to stop it.
Yeah, exactly, Michael. Spot on. So, now what happened is that Tommy Sodakile, right, he was one of the latest names thrown out there. And there's a big thing in the Sunday Times about the fact that, you know, he didn't say anything and therefore he's guilty of the crimes or whatever. And yes, he didn't say anything straight away. But he's not the guy in the wrong here, because he did actually talk about it, and now he's talking more about it. And this whole thing about Sunday Times, basically it's one of those guilty by media kind of things. So he's saying, actually, a couple of other things that haven't come out. Now, Alvira Peterson, he is kind of being seen as the whistleblower in this whole case. So because he said that Ghulam Bodhi offered him this, offered him that, and he said, no, I will flatly not do it. But there was a window period, right? So again, back to the roleplay situation, Ghulam Bodhi comes to you and goes, Alvira, I need you to throw these matches, do this, this, and that, and we'll give you this. He heard this, he had a response, but then days passed until he said, hi, Cricket South Africa, hi, I'm Ghulam Bodhi, patch leather jacket, making allegations. So what Sami Solakile is now saying is that apparently how it happened, and this is according to him, Ghulam Bodhi said, right, fix these matches. Alvira's like, okay, cool, I want 600,000 per match, and I want 300,000 up front. This is what's not coming out, and Alvira Peterson obviously denying this. But now, according to Tommy Solakile's sources, this is what went down. And the match fix didn't happen because Ghulam Bodhi did not agree to those terms. And once that happened, then Alvira turned state witness, kind of whistleblower. Again, these are allegations, but this is the latest talk that's going on around here. What I want to know is, why is it that Cricket South Africa see fit to name and shame associations with Lonwabo Tsobe and Tommy Solakile? There are so many guys that have been spoken to, right? But why are these two guys being identified? Why is it that they're being thrown out there? Because it's a dangerous game, this. If your name is mentioned with match fixing, you're guilty. It's like if your name is mentioned with doping, you're guilty. 3 years later, you could be completely cleared, right? No, no, actually, we took your B sample, you were fine. You're guilty. You're done. It's like being called a racist in high profile anything. It'll stick whether you are or you're not.
Yeah.
We learned that this year.
Yeah.
So these two guys, okay? So it's probably the same thing. He was spoken to. He did nothing. He denied ever doing anything. He's in the clear in his mind, and he hasn't been proven guilty. But yet his name's in the mud. Same with Solakile. Why has CSA chosen these two guys when there have been numerous people that Bodhi has spoken to? If Bodhi wants to come clean and cooperate with authorities, he must give a list. These guys must be followed up, and this entire thing must be rooted out. So it's worrying how it's been dealt with so far, and I suppose time will tell if we'll ever get anything more out of this.
Yikes.
What do you think of that, Sia?
I know, it's a lot of patched leather jacket vibes for me.
No, it's just the look of a cheater. Anyway, it's more cheats. Wow, the sport's really negative this morning. So a UN agency has said to Sharapova, we don't want you working with us anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Nah, Sharapova.
Everybody's dropping her. Nobody wants to be associated with a doping person.
Nope. So Sharapova did quite a lot of good work around Chernobyl. You know, like that's, she's from Russia. Chernobyl, there was a massive nuclear fallout out there, so she's been doing a lot of goodwill campaigns where she's helped people in that general area. But now the UN's like, well, actually, you kind of cheat a bit, so we don't really want you. But since January 1st, guess how many athletes have tested positive for meldonium?
Now, this is including all the sports, right? Because
yep.
There was that issue with some
yep.
figure skater.
Ooh. All the sports.
And this is Jan 1st this year?
Until now, so yes.
Okay. 28.
99 confirmed cases of meldonium, and this is another interesting stat that I came about recently. They did a base study of Russians, right? So they got together 6,000-7,000, a decent amount of Russians. You know, Sharapova was going on about the fact that it's for health reasons?
Yes.
So If that's true, then general population should have more molybdenum in the system than athletes, right? Because it's a health thing. It's to help your blood circulation and heart. Mm. Of the sample study of these 6,000-7,000 Russians, 2% of the civilians had molybdenum in the system. Of the 6,000-7,000 athletes tested, 17% had it.
The science does not lie.
Anyway, Sharapova just keeps trying to defend herself, but it's just useless. She says that there's now claims going around that she received at least 5 notifications saying this molybdenum is now a banned substance, right?
Yeah.
She says she only received 1 actual notification in December, an actual formal thing saying molybdenum, no go, leave it alone.
Okay.
So she received 1, right? People are saying there was more. But she goes, it was only like 1. The other ones were buried in newsletters, websites, and handouts.
Okay.
Well, I'm sorry, princess. You can't read things.
No, but besides that, you have an entire team. You've employed an entire team of people whose job it is to do the things that you just don't have time to do. So didn't they do their job and tell you, oh, look, there's 4 more notifications, Ms. Sharapova?
She is trying so hard to defend herself. Okay, firstly, she confirms receiving 1. Is 1 not enough? Must I tell you twice? 1 not enough. And then she's going about, oh, it was just so vague. It was in all these newsletters and things. Okay, so that's like saying, right, all staff mail going out, there's a fire, and everyone's about to die. And you sit in your desk and you go, well, I'm not going to read all staff mail. It's like, come on.
Now, let me ask you this, Ben, because I've seen a lot of people on social media saying, yeah, but guys, Maria Sharapova should be commended for admitting to doping, whereas other athletes, you know, wouldn't have the balls to do so. You think back to the Lance Armstrong situation where he just denied. But, I mean...
Yeah, well, Lance is using other people's blood.
But I mean,
that's some Twilight vibes.
Do you think that that's a fair comment to make, to say that Sharapova should be applauded for admitting to it straight on, but then other people, you know, saying, yeah, but she got caught.
I will applaud her when she retires, because she was caught. She didn't say, guys, hang on a second there. I played really well today. Can someone please test my piss? That did not happen.
No.
She was caught. She was bust. She was found guilty. She said, okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
that's being caught.
I know. Like, that's not being bold or brave. That's you getting caught.
Exactly. Fun. Anyway, we need to move on. Anthea's waiting and ready. World T20 yesterday, it started with an absolute bang. Huge, massive, incredible upset. New Zealand won the toss in their first match against India. They put themselves in the bats on a very big turning pitch. 126 is all they got. Boo, such a bad score. But they still won the game by 47 runs. They bowled India out for 79 runs. What an incredible turnaround there. So India prepared this ridiculous turning pitch. I mean, the thing was turning square in a T20 match. It was almost as bad as those test wickets they prepared against the Proteas. But it came back to haunt them. Little did they know that they set up a pitch for their Indian spinners, but New Zealand had a better Indian spinner. Yeah, this Sodhi guy. Never seen him before. Anyway, he got 3 wickets. Santner got 4 wickets. Out of the 10 wickets, New Zealand spinners took 9 of them, and that was it for MS Dhoni and his team. So they're the big favourites, thrashed in the opening match. Today sees Bangladesh versus Pakistan, 11:30 South African time, and England versus West Indies, 4 o'clock SA time. South Africa's first match will be on Friday against the Poms, and then on Sunday, don't forget, live alternative commentary right here on cliffcentral.com from 11:30. Right, that is the sport for today. What have we got song-wise today, Sia?
So we did say we're each taking a day, basically, and choosing songs. And so today, being Michael Flax's day...
Oh, boy.
I don't know.
I really think this is the winner of, like, all the songs that we've ever played.
Hang on. So this is for Anthea, right?
This is for Anthea, okay. But yeah. Also selected by Michael. Here we go.
Hope you're ready, Anthea. Okay, well, quick critique there. Michael, it needs to be catchy. I heard the word money in there. Otherwise, it was just a whole bunch of rap.
See, I missed the whole first part.
See, you did terribly
which
there.
Which first part?
No, okay.
Got money, and you guys, know it.
No, this is embarrassing. See, I mean, the volume wasn't even up. You're an absolute shambles
this
morning.
You missed the chorus the money.
Okay. Guys,
so, we got the worst part in a Lil Wayne song.
This is looking like a Mickey Mouse operation.
Come on, guys. Anthea's in the line. Anthea, I'm so sorry for that. You know,
it was a catchy enough tune, but I'm not sure where the money part was.
Exactly, because Sia didn't play it properly. It's a shambles.
You guys all let it just press play.
Turning your mic off. We're done with turning your mic off, Michael. Michael, good efforts. Your execution, Sia, was terrible. Anyway, Anthea, what's happening in the markets?
All right, so the Aussie was down 40 basis points yesterday. Very little volume going through. Market was dragged down by resources mostly. We really are coming to the end of the reporting season, so things are calming down from a company point of view. But then, of course, yesterday was all about the Rand. Actually, it was all about the Hawks accusing Gordon of breaking the law, that sent the Rand into free fall.
Yeah.
But now, why and how does this happen, Anthea? Please explain.
How and why does what? The Rand trading so weakly happen?
Well, you know, amidst this entire investigation now with the Hawks saying, yeah, but we suspect that a spy unit was established while Pravin Gordhan was still head of SARS. I mean, it's just, and how it's bad ridiculous. Is it going to get?
Doesn't it just feel like harassment? Because yesterday, apparently, the Hawks sent Gordon's lawyers a letter saying that he had missed two deadlines and therefore he was breaking the law.
Now, he said that he missed the first deadline because he was busy preparing for the budget speech. This is now back in February, earlier this year.
Mm-hmm. And the second time?
Well,
do you know?
I don't know about the second time, why he missed it.
So, this is the thing. So foreign investors are looking at this situation and going, why are you harassing the finance minister? The man has got a big job to do. Just let him get on with it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just before market close yesterday, our currency weakened to above 16 to the dollar. It's had a bit of a pullback this morning. It's trading at 15.95. But honestly, at this rate, if the Reserve Bank was thinking of not raising rates tomorrow, I think they might have to rethink their strategy. A rand at 16 to the dollar, and oil, by the way, is higher as well, so trading closer to $40 a barrel, will definitely have an impact on inflation. I mean, I think the MPC would probably almost ignore the fact that we have muted growth and therefore they would have to raise interest rates.
Now, the finance minister has now said that he's going to lawyer up because, you know, he refuses to be what he says, harassed this way by the Hawks. But I mean, if this row continues between the finance minister and the Hawks and the South African police, does this mean that the Rand will also then continue to just get worse and be badly affected by the situation?
Absolutely, yes. I mean, that's just, there's no doubt about it. You know, I think foreigners are looking at and going, well, so you thought you had it all under control when you appointed Gordon, but you don't really. So why would I be buying your currency? Why would I be buying your market or your bonds? So actually, even bond flows have decreased, foreigners buying bonds. The amount has lessened in the last couple of days. They don't want to touch our market. It's too risky for them. They really, and they've got other markets to worry about. You know, they've got Brazil, Turkey, Russia, India. They've got a whole host of emerging market countries to choose from. They don't have to be invested here.
You know, Anthea, I remember back when I was born in 81, it was 79 South African cents to the US dollar.
Oh, my word.
Yeah.
Oh, that is crazy.
But this whole Zuma thing, it's like Zuma didn't want Gordon to be his finance minister, so now he's just spiting him in other ways. It's like the levels of dickery with this guy, there is no end.
Yeah, I'm afraid not. He really does not understand the impact of what he does, I think.
But no, but he really doesn't, because he's a chief running a kraal, basically. He doesn't understand what it...
Very frustrating.
Sorry, right? Anthea, carry on.
Okay, let's talk about something else. Remgro did something very interesting yesterday. So Remgro started out in the 40s as Rembrandt Group. They were the guys who did tobacco products by Dr. Anton Rupert. Mm-hmm. Anyway, now basically they're an investment holding company, and so they invest in underlying companies. And yesterday they issued a debt instrument or bond. So think of it as borrowing money from shareholders. So they're basically, instead of going to the bank and getting a loan to expand their business, they're going to shareholders to borrow money, and then they'll pay us an interest. They pay us twice a year, so I think in December and June. And they raised £350 million of what we call senior secured debt with a maturity of 2021. So this loan will be mature or repaid in 5 years' time. And normally this is all kind of normal, but what they've done is they've made it an exchangeable bond. So in theory, at the end of the maturity, at the end of the period of the bond, instead of them repaying the capital, you as the shareholder or the lender of the money can choose to take Mediclinic shares, which I thought was a nice little touch because, so let's say you lend them R1,000, they pay you an interest every year, twice a year, in fact.
Yep.
And then at the end, instead of giving you your R1,000 back, they could give you, you could choose to have Mediclinic shares. And hopefully in 5 years' time, Mediclinic shares would have rallied and your R1,000 will be worth a lot more. You don't often see this kind of thing happening in the market, so it's always fun to kind of, I like these new products.
Yeah, exactly. It's a decent share to have, right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Mm. And bonds are a lot less risky or a lot less volatile than equities or shares. So because your capital almost is secured, if you like the credit, this kind of counterparty credit, you're okay with that, which is Remgro, so you're fine. There's almost a guarantee that you'll get your money back, plus you'll get your interest every year. And the interest may not be as high as the return on shares, but at least you know kind of... And so bonds are very good for people who are closer to retirement, because they don't have that volatility, and when they want to or have to withdraw their capital, they know that their capital is preserved at the end of it, really.
Nice.
Very nice. And then remember Choppies?
Yes, we could forget Choppies.
So they reported interim results for the 6 months to December yesterday. Revenue was up 17% to 3.5 billion pula. But unfortunately, EBITDA, which is earnings before interest, tax, depreciation, and amortization, only grew by 5%. So there's a bit of a mismatch between earnings growth and profit growth, basically, is what I'm saying. Unfortunately, kind of from on the ground operational, they're not growing as quickly as expected either. They're opening two more stores in Botswana, and by the end of next week, their takeover of the Kenyan, of some sort of Kenyan business that they're buying, should be done. But I think the problem as well is that, unluckily for them, after their South African expansion, the rand weakened, and so actually their South African operations have really just been a drag on earnings. I mean, I say that, but I think they've achieved what they wanted to with the South African listing. And so you can either trade Choppies on the JSE, or you can trade on the BSE, which is the Botswana Stock Exchange, and the shares are fully fungible, which means you can swap them out perfectly. And on average, on the JSE, we have about 700,000 shares a day in Choppies trades, whereas some days on the Botswana Stock Exchange, nothing trades. So, you know, at least they've got the liquidity they wanted. Yeah, so this is a share that when it listed, it traded about four and eighty, I think, somewhere around there.
Mm-hmm.
And then traded as high as R7.30, so almost double your, well, no, almost, what is that? 70% increase. And then it's had a pullback and is now trading at R5.48. I mean, that's still 12% above where it listed, but it really hasn't shut the lights out like we were hoping it would.
So say, for instance, they had to find operations in other countries to expand to, that obviously have a very positive effect on that share price.
You'd hope so, yes. And I think, so a lot of companies are acquisitive. You know, I spoke about EOH on Monday and Adapt IT, and these companies buy other companies, and what they try to do is to buy them for relatively cheap so that its earnings are accretive or it adds to their earnings. Whereas Choppies is slightly different. They are acquisitive, but they're more interested in expanding footprint at this stage rather than buying at really, really cheap, you know, so they'll pay up a little bit so that they are kind of looking for more stores, bigger operation. And then what they do is they consolidate their operations through their DCs, their distribution centers, and then that's how they extract value.
Very interesting.
Yeah. All right, and then that's me today. Tencent are reporting, which is very exciting. We're all very anxious about it because, you know, that will impact the Naspers share price.
Oh, exactly, which is in the real top echelons of that stock market.
That, well, it's depending on which index you look at, but it's over 10% weight of most of the indices. So it's a huge impact on our market.
Wow. And what are you sort of projecting with that? Is that Chinese stock market volatility going to impact it at all?
So I think it's all about the consolidation of their online advertising and whether or not they've been able to extract value and grow those businesses as quickly as we'd hoped they would. You know, that's it's almost nothing to do with the Chinese stock market and how the shares are trading, but kind of how Tencent are performing globally. So let's hope that they've been able to do some good and been able to extract value.
Well, very nice.
They really are such a growth stock, aren't they?
Definitely. But then again, that's the way the world's going there, so they're in the right industry.
Exactly. All right, Ben, thanks very much.
Cool, Anthea. Catch you back tomorrow for a Thursday edition.
Wow. Super. See you tomorrow. Have a good day.
Flying. All right, China, Anthea, bye. Right, so we had the whole plan of we have different music from different people.
Yes.
Because I still lived on Australia Day, which is irrelevant, really. Anyway, so Michael Flax is today's music choice, and he is going to play for us right now Eminem, Rap God.
Okay.
Yeah.
Look, I was going to go easy on you, not to hurt your feelings, but I'm only going to get this one chance.
CliffCentral.com.